The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. If I asked you, who are you, you'd probably give me your name first. Then you might tell me what your occupation is or had been. You might tell me a bit about your family history. You might tell me all those things when I ask the question, who are you? But, you know, I've never had anybody say to me, I am the salt of the earth, I am the light of the world. You never thought of yourselves quite that way. Did you even know that you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world? Our gospel lesson takes place just after Jesus spoke the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are. And we read those last week for the gospel lesson. It's all part of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this is very early in Jesus' earthly ministry. We're told right before chapter 5 that Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people were brought to him who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pains, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, sat down, his disciples came to him, and he started preaching. He was preaching to the masses of suffering people. This was the poor, the uneducated, the disillusioned, maybe the abused, certainly misfits, oppressed, and those marginalized by society. They had no power. They never expected to get any power. They're just trying to survive from day to day. It's kind of like people who survive paycheck to paycheck. They just never know when a disaster is going to happen. And Jesus says of this crowd, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Wow, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What did the people then think when they first heard those words? What a radical idea that they were this important to Jesus. Salt, by the way, you know, we just put it on our table. We don't really think much about it. We complain when it gets all over our cars. But in the ancient world, salt was extremely important. In the Jewish sacrifices, salt oftentimes was used. It was also used to preserve food. I cannot imagine meat that had been cured with just salt. Ooh. See, my wife took me off of salt when we first got married because I thought every meal needed half a shaker of salt. Now, did you know that even today we use 40 million tons of salt? 40 million tons of salt a year. And by the way, do you know where most of the salt comes from? Where's the promised land? Michigan. Right underneath Detroit. And I hope they just keep digging and digging until the city falls right in. Anyway, see, now look, you learn something about geography. The Greek poet Homer, he's the one that wrote about Troy, you know, the Trojan horse and all that good stuff. He called salt divine. Plato called it a substance dear to the gods. And if you look closely at Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper, in front of Judas is an overturned bowl of salt, almost implying that he had lost his purity. In ancient Greece, there was a far-flung trade involving the exchange of salt for slaves that gave rise to that expression, he's not worth his salt. Roman soldiers were paid in salt, and that's where we get our word salary from. Did you know the human body consists of 4 ounces of salt? And did you know without salt in your body, you cannot live? Because your heart would stop, your muscles wouldn't work, all right? blood would not circulate, and food would not digest. So salt is absolutely essential for life. Now you're all going to go home, make sure you got some on your dinner table. Jesus has been talking to people from all over Israel itself. The 10 cities of the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. In other words, all of Israel. People from all over Israel had come to hear him, to be healed by him, and to get some sort of a direction, some sort of a purpose for their life. And guess what? We're part of that crowd. We need a meaning to life. We need a direction. We need a purpose. Jesus says the same words to us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The implications of that, the implications are rather complicated, because as I mentioned to the children, they're meant to flavor society around them. Well, we're meant to flavor the world itself. We're meant to reveal God to this world, to enlighten the dark places of the world with his news. Boy, mental blank there. Now, how does it actually work out practically speaking? It's like looking into the eyes of another person, speaking a kind word, acknowledging them, realizing they've been created in the image of God, even the ones that we might label a welfare mother, a panhandler, or a gang kid. It's having generosity and compassion with time and money to care for the poor, the hungry, the homeless. It shows itself in starting a conversation and building a relationship with those people that generally you have either indifference, pain, or anger against. It means praying that God will bless you and all people with all good gifts, even those that have hurt you. Isn't that one of the most difficult things, is to pray for good things for those who hurt you? I love it last week in the Senate. Oh, I'm praying for the president. Fiddler on the roof. The rabbi gets up there and he goes, and now we will have a prayer for the Tsar of Russia, the ruler of Russia. May the Lord bless and keep the Tsar far, far away from us. But to pray for those who hurt us. The prophet Isaiah spoke of loosening the bonds of injustice and letting the oppressed go. Could you imagine politics that weren't dependent on control and power and recognize the dignity of every human being? I sometimes like to bring in stuff that was in the news. James Carville, he's a politician, advisor. The guy is just a political wonk, okay? And he said this past week, he says, they don't understand this is all about power. Without power, we can't do anything. Wow. That's what politics is all about, just power. Imagine if it wasn't, and instead it was used to help or protect the dignity of every person. Being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, can show itself in faithfulness and commitment to listen to others, to be available, and to spend time with them. It might mean slowing down, rearranging a schedule, and valuing presence over efficiency and productivity. So where is the salt and the light in your life? Another way to look at this is, what does it look like? It should look like Christ himself. That's the life that we actually long for, is to have a life like his. And he tells us not to lose our saltiness or hide our light. Because when salt loses its saltiness, I would hope not light a candle and put it underneath the basket. But when you do, it becomes useless. Has anybody ever said at the dinner table, pass the salt, and you don't expect your food to be improved? No. Have you ever walked in the room, flipped the light switch, and did not expect the light to come on? Which, by the way, yes, I know light bulbs burn out, but what's the first thing then you do? Honey, can you change this light bulb? I always end up with that job because of my height, but that's beside the point. All right? You know, maybe something here. If relationships are sort of bland between people, maybe there's not enough salt or light there. And sometimes we forget who we really are. And how do you become that real and authentic person that makes a difference? Well, the answer is simple. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And notice those words are present tense. Not, you will be the salt of the earth. You will be the light of the world. You already are. As a result of having faith in Christ, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We should live as we are. It would be like Jesus saying in the gospel lesson, behold the salt that you already are. Behold the light that you already are. Become that for the life of the world. Let them taste and see. It means living different than what the world says is important. And you know what? We're each given different opportunities during the course of a week to interact with people on different levels in different ways. But we all have the ability to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to show Christ in our words, in our actions, and in our deeds. So let them taste and see, for you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.